So in Dostoevsky's psychological thriller, Crime and Punishment, the main character, Raskolnikov, attempts to get away with murder. And although he employs all of his rational abilities to cover up what he considers to be a justifiable act, at one point his conscience will not let him get away with it. Dostoevsky writes, "When reason fails, the devil helps." And by this he means that while reason serves as the cornerstone of human thought and decision making, it is not infallible. Human cognition is subject to biases, emotions, and cognitive limitations that impair judgment and reasoning processes. And in moments of uncertainty, stress, or moral ambiguity, we can find it challenging to rely solely on reason to guide our actions. And this vulnerability opens the door to satanic influences. So the Bible reinforces this warning to rely too much on reason in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Where it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So after his resurrection, Jesus seems intent for his disciples not to rely on reason when it comes to understanding spiritual things. Reason has a way of missing the things of the Spirit. And so how are we to discern spiritual reality? And that's what we're going to look at today. So turn your Bibles to our gospel reading that we just read, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. So Luke 24, 13 through 35. So this gospel reading begins with a time of confusion. So two of Jesus' followers are traveling on the road to Emmaus by foot. It's a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're confounded by the identity of Jesus. They had seen him do all kinds of things. They had heard him preach powerful words. They'd seen miraculous sights. They were convinced that he was the long-awaited Messiah. But then he was put to death in the most gruesome way, on a cross. And at the same time, they were now baffled by an account that some of the women had given in that morning, who claimed that they had seen an angel who told them that Jesus had risen. How seriously could they take what sounds like a pretty preposterous story? And so I think it's fair for us to ask, did Cleopas and his companions still believe in Jesus? It doesn't seem like it. You know, not only are they sad by what happened to Jesus, but they don't even refer to him as the Messiah anymore. Instead, they demoted him to a prophet, mighty in deed and word, but just a prophet. And according to their expectations, the Messiah wasn't supposed to end up on a Roman cross. And even though they had heard words of his resurrection, it just seemed too unbelievable. Now, their reasoning, no matter how sound, was leading them down a path of rejecting Jesus. And the fruit of such reasoning here is confusion. Now, at that point, the resurrected Jesus joins them. But they weren't able to recognize him. Notice their confusion had led to blindness. They had eyes, but they couldn't see. So here was Jesus, the one that they had followed, who was standing right before them, but they couldn't see his identity. They didn't know who this man was. Now, why would Jesus' identity be kept from these two travelers? For what purpose would it serve? And two things I think become clear from this passage. First, Jesus wanted them to pursue him, to seek him out fervently. Remember Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He wrote, "Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open." And therefore the search for Jesus and his significance is a journey of discovery. As Cleopas and his companions seek to understand the events that had taken place, Jesus begins to help them in verse 27 so they could see for themselves the prophecies that had been laid out for the Messiah. That journey will not cease this side of eternity. Even for us who have walked with Jesus for many years, there are so many revelations yet to be discovered. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There's so many more things that he wants to reveal to us. But more importantly here, Jesus wanted to teach them not to rely on their senses or reasoning to discover spiritual truth, but upon him. Cleopas and his companion were confounded because as they looked at the physical evidence, nothing made sense. Reasoning could not help them. It only led to confusion. Cleopas and his companion remind us of Nicodemus, who came to Jesus during the night, trying to figure out who this guy was. And as Jesus spoke to him, he wasn't able to understand. Here was a smart man, but he was attempting to understand rationally something that could not be understood by reason, only through the Spirit. Now, in this episode, Jesus did not use logical arguments to try to convince them. It was not a matter of faulty reasoning that they were unable to recognize him. But their eyes would remain blind until God opened them up. Jesus was teaching them a lesson that is for us as it was for them. With Jesus no longer physically present, they would have to rely on spiritual insight to gain understanding. So you remember how Jesus had already told his disciples back in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he meant that to be normative way for his disciples. That's the way that we understand spiritual things. The Spirit opens those truths up to us. Now, I know people who insist that if Jesus would just appear to them, they would believe. I'm just waiting for that day. But the scriptures provide example after example. For instance, the ancient Israelites who saw the mighty hand of God released as the waters of the Red Sea were lifted up so the people could escape. People who had seen God's miraculous provision of manna in the wilderness, and they even heard God speak from Mount Sinai. And yet they refused to put their trust in him. That should stand as a warning to all of us. Discovering spiritual truth does not come through scientific examination because immediately we face a stumbling block, the resurrection of Jesus. And when we don't experience resurrections like that, what do we do? Have you ever seen anybody rise from the dead? And Cleopas hadn't seen a resurrection either. And therefore, reflection on the events just seemed baffling to him. It was illogical. It didn't make sense. If you want to understand who Jesus is, it requires a willingness to believe in a miracle, something that can't be proved by science. It must be spiritually discerned. Helen Keller, deaf and blind from birth, had a teacher who was named Ann Sullivan, who had given her the names of different physical objects through sign language. And one day, Miss Sullivan attempted to explain God and tap the symbols for the name God. And much to Sullivan's surprise, she spelled back Thank you for telling me God's name, for he has touched me many times before. Helen Keller knew something about God through spiritual revelation. No one had ever spoken to her about him before. On the journey to discovery, the Spirit may lead us to take steps that we may not understand. Before Cleopas and his companion recognized Jesus, they knew something was drawing them to this guy, and they didn't know who this guy was. This is what they said in verse 32. Didn't our hearts burn within us while we talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture? And so they decided to listen to that internal prompt and invited Jesus to spend the evening with them. Unbeknownst to them, they were actually being obedient to the Spirit because the Spirit was guiding them. You know, in life, we rarely get a complete picture of the revelation of Jesus. Rarely does he just physically show up to people. Rather, he speaks to us on a spiritual level. And we must recognize that spiritual voice and allow him to guide us. And when we do, he will show us more, just as he did Cleopas. So our church, St. James, is embarking on one of its most important quests. We're beginning this important quest after 81 years, and that's the search for a new church home. And how we search is perhaps more important than the result, because it will define the soul of who we are. This is not merely finding a place where we feel comfortable and can worship on Sundays and gather as a community. More important than this, it will define the future of this church, our mission field, the ministries that we will undertake, and the people who will form the next generation of St. James. Our bishop has put it this way: we will either become a lifeboat for current members or a fishing boat to reach the next generation.
Fishing.
The Lord has not told me that we've found the building yet. But new opportunities keep coming, almost on a daily basis now. How are we going to decide which is best for us? Will we decide based on our keen insight and reasoning? Is it just that we look at our criteria, we find the building, and we go, aha, this is it? And if that's all we need to do, then really we don't need God to be part of that process, do we? We have smart people here who can reason this. But then in the end, all we're doing is we're just acting like a corporation or a social club looking for a new location. Like Cleopas, who was unable to recognize Jesus, we don't yet recognize the church home that the Lord has for us. We need the Lord to open our eyes so that we're able to see. Just as Jesus was not as Cleopas expected him, he may have something for us that none of us could have possibly imagined. And if that's the case, we need to be in a place where we can receive it with gratefulness. The last thing we want to do is to reject a gift that God intends for us. And so to be in that place, we need to be in a place of praying and discerning as a community. This is so important for us, St. James. Each of you and your prayers are critical in this. And as you pray, the Lord may give you a vision. He may give you a word. He may give you a scripture. And I invite you to share that with a member of our vestry, because it may be more important than you realize. Join one of our weekly prayer gatherings, either on Tuesdays at noon here or on Thursday online at noon. Either way, you know, we already noticed that when we began praying, the new opportunities began to appear. And the Lord is speaking to us as we gather. So some are now hearing while others may not be. Unity depends on us each being in a place where we're able to hear. God has a will for this church, and it's our responsibility to discern it by listening to His Spirit. This building will be your legacy for the next generation. And so, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? Now, notice that it's not during Jesus' exposition of the scriptures when Cleopas' eyes are open, but it's afterward at the meal. And unexpectedly, Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Until Jesus sat down with Cleopas and his companions and repeated the actions from the Last Supper, their eyes were kept from seeing him. Until he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, exactly as he did at the Last Supper, they could not recognize him. Throughout Jesus' ministry, meals had provided fertile ground to disclose his identity and the reality of the kingdom of God. Take, for instance, in John chapter 6, when he fed the 5,000, he declared at that time, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger." In death, his body was broken to atone for the sin of humankind, so that humanity could be reborn into a new creation. In the breaking of bread, Jesus was revealing the limitless power of the kingdom of God. Just as he'd previously revealed that 5 loaves of bread could feed 5,000, in the resurrection, one body, his body, could feed the whole world. In receiving the broken bread, Cleopas and his companion finally saw the one who was standing in their midst. They saw not only the Jesus they knew, but also Jesus in a new way. Just as humans would die without bread to nourish them, Jesus' body was broken to give life to a world that will die apart from him. That is the Jesus they now saw. No longer bound by space or time or even appearance, the risen Christ can appear when he wills, where he wills, how he wills, and under whatever form he wills. He can hide himself just as he did on the road to Emmaus. His normal manner of appearing to his disciples will not be in the form of a man any longer, but in unexpected ways, like the bread that we'll share momentarily. And therefore, let us put ourselves in a place to discern spiritual truth so that we are ready to receive whatever it is that God intends for us. Amen. Let's pray.